The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into ESPN FC. Kay Murray and Chaka Hislop here with you in the studio. A little later on, we'll be hearing from Don Hutchison and Gab Marcotti to talk about Juve's latest bad result in the Serie A. But we will begin in the Premier League tonight with Manchester United taking on Newcastle. Cristiano Ronaldo on his re-debut scoring two goals. There was a screaming goal from Bruno Fernandes in there as well, an absolute belter from him. And Jesse Lingard rounded things off to Manchester United, beating Newcastle 4-1. John, it's been a great start for United, hasn't it? This just makes things even better.
Game, and there was something special inside Old Trafford today. There was a buzz. The place was electric. He was doing his warm-up, Ronaldo, and the fans were cheering every single shot. When he scored a goal in the warm-up, the place went nuts. You know, he just gives you belief. If you're a United fan or you're a Man United player, he gives you belief. I remember commentating on a Champions League game against Atletico Madrid when he was playing for Juve a few years ago. And Juve were 2-0 down in the first leg, and they took them back to Turin in the second leg. And I got pretty lucky. Commentator asked me just before kickoff, have Juve got a chance? And I said, of course they have. They've got Ronaldo. They won 3-2 and he scored a hat-trick. That's what he does, Kate. He writes his own scripts. The guy's a goal machine. You can rely on him. You know, today watching the game, Newcastle I thought were very good in parts. At the end, I think the scoreline flattered Man United because Newcastle just ran out of steam and there was tired bodies on the pitch. But Ronaldo's just incredible. He guarantees your goals every single game. Every single season.
Yeah, we've got Luis Garcia and also Jurgen Klinsmann with us, as you may have seen, and we'll be speaking to everybody about this performance from Cristiano Ronaldo back at Manchester United. Was there any surprise, Jurgen, to see him picking up in such great form?
Not really, to be honest. I mean, he is just, he's a winner. He lifts everybody around him, and what he did, you know, with his presence on the field right away, he makes his teammates so much more better and more motivated and more inspired. But also he gives far more feel to the opponent. And when you see especially his second goal, I mean, they didn't even want to attack him. They didn't even want to mark him, the Newcastle players, you know, because they fear him so much. So it's just, it's really fascinating to see what his presence does on the field. And especially from the mental psychological side, how much it means to all his players around him. He makes him to a real contender for the UEFA Champions League this year.
Would you agree with that, Luis? A contender for the Champions League?
Definitely is one of the teams that is going to be fighting for it, for all the single trophies. You can see how balanced is the squad. Fantastic players at the back, creative in the middle, and they got players up front. One more now with Cristiano that can score goals from every single place on the field. So definitely they are going to be one of the contenders if they can manage to continue this fantastic role that they are now, and with the confidence that all the players that has arrived to the team are given.
There weren't many, but there were some, Chaka, that were doubting whether Cristiano Ronaldo would still be able to offer as much as he had before for Manchester United. I think he answered a few of those critics today, didn't he?
Yeah, without question, it's exactly the start he would have wanted. And while I thought it was a good signing for Manchester United, you understand the apprehension around a 36-year-old. But not so much about his age, but the expectation of what he'd bring and how he'd transform Manchester United. Now, yesterday, in talking about his debut, I spoke about his importance to that dressing room and making a very talented dressing room understand their responsibilities on the field, off it, when they're training and when they're not. The other aspect that even I underestimated with Ronaldo's return is the fans within Old Trafford. And I have played at Old Trafford, both with Ronaldo on the park and without. And at times, it does not live up to the tagging of the Theatre of Dreams. But Ronaldo coming in, and maybe that will die down with time, but as of right now, the way he has buoyed the entire place puts an added pressure on everybody else, added expectation that the players now have to live up to. The fans are playing their part. The players are seeing by example what's needed. And this is another aspect to United that I think moves them closer to those who you expect will sit top of the table at the end of the season.
What would you say, Don? Are they legitimate Premier League title contenders? Does Cristiano Ronaldo make that much of a difference for United?
Well, not only him. I think when the signings of Rafa Varane and Jadon Sancho and Ronaldo come through the door, it tells you that Man United mean business. They have to be. You know, when you sign Ronaldo, you don't sign Ronaldo to finish top four. You don't sign Ronaldo to try and bridge the gap between Man United and Man City. You want to win the Premier League and you want to win the biggest of trophies. That's why he's here. He said yesterday or a couple of days ago, I'm not here on vacation. I love that attitude. Apparently, he'd done a speech to the Man United players in the dressing room at the hotel last night before the game. He got interviewed after the game today and he said, you know, once we mature as a team and once we get understanding and we win more games with confidence, we will be winning a big trophy. So you buy these players, Kate, and you buy the best players in, as I said, to win the biggest of prizes. Ronaldo's not come to the Premier League just to try and outscore everyone else. Yes, that'll be his motivation because that's what he does. But his motivation is walking away when he's finished, whenever that might be, 4, 5, 6 years' time. Who knows? He might play until his early 40s. This guy is a winner.
We heard Wayne Rooney saying that he thinks he probably can go on until he's 40. Luis, did you ever expect a 36-year-old player to still be doing this at this level and still be making an impact like Cristiano Ronaldo is?
Yeah, but we are not talking about a lot of players. And definitely the players now are more athletes. They are looking after themselves a lot more. They take care of the daily basis, the food, the way they have to be, they treat. They rest a lot more. So at the end, you can see that the retirement for the players is not anymore 30, 32. They are going further away for 34, 35. We can see Toni Kroos. We can see players that they continue getting with the age even better. Because today, Cristiano Ronaldo probably is not going to be the same player 10 years ago who was beating players 1v1, skillful and everything. But with the amount of experience that he's got, the way that the football intelligence that he's got, he's going to balance that. And now he's even more dangerous when he's on the field because Jürgen was mentioning people is afraid to get closer to him. And when he's inside the box, he's definitely a total striker. So I'm not surprised that he continued playing for a few more years.
Meanwhile, for Chelsea today, it was a 3-0 win over Aston Villa with 2 goals from Lukaku and Mateo Kovacic in on the action. What did you make of their performance today, Don?
Very efficient performance, Kay. I thought, without going through the gears, without really exciting anyone, it was a professional job. Thomas Tuchel is a very, very elite manager. He's a very experienced manager. He had a tough decision to make at half-time when he took Saul off, who didn't have a good debut. He, I think, underestimated how quick the Premier League can be. He makes big decisions. And I think what I like about the top four is it doesn't matter what side of the camp you're in. I think everyone offers something slightly different. If you think of Chelsea, they can go defensive. They can keep clean sheets for fun. That might get them very close. I think United with Ronaldo and Sancho, they can score goals. City will outplay and outdominate possession any team in the Premier League. And Liverpool have got famous back five and Mo Salah and guys up front that can score goals. But this Chelsea side is very dangerous because they know their jobs. The result against Liverpool a fortnight ago told me everything I need to know about Chelsea. You know, down to 10 men. They dug in second half. They got a real valuable point at Anfield. Every single player's on board with what the manager's instructions are. They're working together. They're working for the team. And again, they just rolled Villa over. Villa were nowhere near Chelsea today. But I still think Chelsea have got more gears to go through.
For anyone who's been watching Inter in recent seasons, Jürgen, this shouldn't come as a surprise to see Lukaku like this for Chelsea.
No, definitely it's not a surprise because he proved it over the last couple of years, not only with obviously at Inter, but also with Belgium. He's so impressive. He's so driven. He's so hungry. And he's very straight in what he's doing. He knows exactly what he wants to do and executes it. He's a different player than Ronaldo or other strikers. But it's really impressive. It's really fun to watch how he gets the job done.
And it's really fun to see Lukaku doing this, especially because when we do talk about critics, Shaka, this is a man who constantly is having to silence his.
Yeah, and listen, Romelu Lukaku arrived in England with a lot of expectation, an expectation that many thought he would grow into. Signs there at Everton, then didn't deliver at Manchester United. And then I thought he really came of age at Inter Milan. And now the big question was, coming back to the Premier League, which one would we see? Would we see the Romelu Lukaku of a couple of seasons ago, or the Romelu Lukaku who maybe struggled at a big club in Manchester United? What we've seen so far. And listen, you open your account rather simply with a tap-in against Arsenal, but that run and finish for the first today, and then the second, albeit an icing on the cake at the end of the game, was a really well-taken goal from a striker who is playing with a lot of confidence and is now living up to that, to the expectation that many saw. I think he adds goals to a Chelsea team that accomplished so much last season, and again pushes them so much closer to the pre-season favourites in Manchester City. I'm with Don in this one. As I watch this game, I never felt like Chelsea really got out of second gear. I never really felt like Chelsea were in any real trouble. But then when I think back over the 90 minutes, Edouard Mendy was absolutely outstanding in between the six for Chelsea. So how do I balance those two up, where Mendy was so good, yet still Chelsea never really seemed that bothered? As I watch Chelsea, the one thing that struck me is how good they are in every single department. And right now, in a season where there's not a lot to give between that top three or top four, maybe the title is decided by who loses more points to teams lower down the table. I just don't see Chelsea as that team that gives up a lot to teams lower in the table. So it kind of speaks to the league this season and how tight it has become and how thin those margins are going to be.
Now, talking about thin margins then, who is the bigger addition, John? Is it Lukaku to Chelsea or Cristiano Ronaldo back at Manchester United?
Well, I mean, that's some question. Chelsea fans will argue for sure it's going to be Lukaku, who's nowhere near his prime in terms of his age. He's still got so much more to give. I just think maybe the Ronaldo factor in what the guys are saying, you know, what he brings to the stadium, how electric the buzz inside Old Trafford is, what he's going to do to players like Anthony Martial, maybe Mason Greenwood, Jadon Sancho, Marcus Rashford when he's fit. Cavani's not, you know, featured too much. There's not too much wrong with Man United all of a sudden. You know, I think 18 months ago, I think we're all saying, well, they need a centre-half. We'll have ticked that box with Rafa Varane, one of the world's best. Maybe are they a little bit light in midfield? Maybe, but you've still got Paul Pogba who can, you know, dominate from that area. Matic played today, who's exceptional. Then the front line speaks for itself. What I look at United, especially with Ronaldo, is I just see a born winner. I see a guy that scores goals. And as the guy said before, he's going to raise the bar inside training, and every single minute of the day, people are going to start living their lifestyles a little bit cleaner, a little bit right. They're going to stay behind, do a lot more practice. So I think I'm leaning towards Cristiano Ronaldo if I'm answering your question, but it's a tough one to call.
All right, let's talk about Manchester City. They had a 1-0 win over Leicester on the day. Bernardo Silva with the only goal in this game. So there you go, another Portuguese player scoring for a Manchester club. Don, three wins on the bounce for City. How are they looking to you?
Well, they're just doing it, aren't they? I mean, they lost against Tottenham when really they should have battered Tottenham. They should have beaten them 4 or 5. And they've responded quite well. I thought Ferran Torres is becoming a real good player. I think you can see that he's getting coached well off Pep. He's trying to learn that number 9 position where when he originally came in, he was a player that liked to face the goal, who was very, very quick. Now he's adapting his game. Jesus is adapting in a different role where he was a number 9, who's now being shifted onto the right side. Jack Grealish is still not in his... nowhere near his prime, and he's learning. He's attracting 2 players every time he gets the ball because he costs so much money. And I think one of the most underrated Premier League players that I've seen for many a year is Ilkay Gundogan. I adore watching this guy play. I think he makes the game look very easy. I think he can play a number of positions. He can play as a false 9. He can play, obviously, off the left, off the right. In my opinion, he's better in that deeper role where he sees the pitcher. He's got a passing range. He makes the game look easy because he's so intelligent. And this City side, I think I've got them just favourites. And I would have had them clear favourites if they had got Harry Kane through the door. But now they've got to go a different route with Ferran Torres and he might improve. But Gundogan's the player I love watching.
Our City favourites, Shaka?
I think so, but just. And it depends a lot on, and Don mentioned both these players, Torres and Gabriel Jesus, who we know are outstanding players, but just have not been consistent enough. And that's why Gabriel Jesus in particular found himself further down the pecking order, just because he doesn't put in the kinds of performance that you expect or he was brought in for week in, week out. And that's the challenge for Chelsea. And I think why, or for Manchester City, and why you want players, why players like Harry Kane are so valuable to you is even when you don't play well, you can still get a goal. Even when you find yourself back against the wall and opportunities are hard to come by, when you have players who finish the way that Harry Kane does, you can still get 3 points. With City's build-up, consistencies aside, they have to play well every single week. Otherwise, you just feel that they can get caught out. And in a season where I don't think there'll be a lot to give between that top three, I don't think Chelsea can afford... Manchester City can afford as stuttered a start to the first half of the campaign that we saw last season. That title-winning campaign was built on that spell through mid-season where they just swept everyone aside. You can't rely on that every single season. So I'm leaning just, but I'm waiting to see how those two, Torres and Jesus, fare.
OK, well, we know for Jurgen Klinsmann, Tottenham Hotspur is his favourite, obviously, to go on and win it all. But if you had to pick a second favourite, Jurgen, who would it be?
I mean, as big of a fan I am, but I really believe that this year, you know, the top four is really, you know, the two Manchester clubs, then Liverpool and Chelsea. These four will create a kind of a gap over time, maybe after 2 or 3 more months. They create a gap towards the next level of teams. And I don't think that Spurs will be part of these top four. They just don't have the consistency. And as Shaka mentioned before, the margin is very, very small between those four teams. I mean, maybe they steal points from each other, but you cannot allow to kind of lose points against kind of lower placed teams in the table. And that's exactly what happens, for example, to a team like Spurs. They're going to lose points against teams where you don't expect them to lose those points.
Yeah, teams like Crystal Palace. Mm-hmm. Taking a look at the standings after the latest results today. Manchester United sitting pretty on top. Brighton up there in the top four at the moment, but Chelsea and Man City also up there right now, and Spurs just outside of the top four. But obviously early days, and it's going to be interesting to see how Liverpool fare this season now that things are looking better for them in terms of injuries. At bottom half, that is Newcastle there in 19th. Shaka, in case you were wondering.
No, I wasn't wondering, Kay, but thanks for pointing that out.
Arsenal with a win today against mm-hmm. Norwich. Yep, they hopefully will continue to climb for the Gunners fans out there. But yeah, long way to go, very early days in the Premier League.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Napoli with a comeback win against Juventus. Lots of drama in this game in the Serie A. For many, it was a deserved win for Napoli, and there is so much to talk about. Gabriele Marcotti joining us now. Gab, tell us what happened in this game. Where should we even start?
Well, obviously, Juve going into the game under strength. No Danilo, no Alexandro, no Federico Chiesa. But still, they took the lead with Morata. But then here's the thing. Luciano Spalletti, who I think had never beaten Max Allegri before, his side, just relentless. Koulibaly was a beast at the back. And they just kept taking shots, taking chances. A little bit of help from Chesney first, and then Moise Kean next. And in the end, they were on their way to a 2-1 victory. And there were sparks flying between these two managers as well. They're both Tuscan, both fiery characters in their own way. Allegri apparently complaining and then not shaking hands with Spalletti after the game. And Spalletti let him have it in the press conference afterwards. So no love lost here.
No, yeah, it's interesting to see that they're clashing there. So apparently Pirlo leaving was going to sort things out for Juventus, Max Allegri coming back, but it's not been a good start for them, has it, Gab?
No wins in three, and obviously, Kay, it's not just Pirlo who left. It's that Ronaldo guy. I don't know. You might have talked about him elsewhere
in the
show.
Yeah, I think I've heard
of him. Not sure where he's gone. I think there were different levels. This was not a good performance. It was not a good performance in their last game either against Empoli when they lost. I thought they were better in their opener. This team needs to find itself. They need some stability in the middle of the park. Manuel Locatelli's come in. He needs to have the players in there. Weston McKennie started. Didn't really contribute very much, in my opinion. He needs to have his guys healthy. Dybala, another one we didn't talk about. Juve needing big things from him this season. Obviously, he didn't start either. So I think it's a different story if you have, you know, your actual players out there. That's going to be that could be their alibi for this game, at that and the individual errors. Going forward, though, he needs to find the right balance in the middle of the park and use the fact that Cristiano's not there. Can we turn it into a positive? Can we put more responsibility on people like Chiesa and Dybala so that they can really, you know, unleash their talents and do what we know that they can do because we've seen them do it elsewhere?
Speaking of individual errors, Szczesny was at fault today on one of the goals. How will that be received?
Not well, because he's been making mistakes all season. And, you know, in the summer, there was this whole thing when Gigio Donnarumma had his contractual dispute with Milan and obviously eventually left as a free agent. Juventus didn't go for him. I think they were just financially hamstrung because Szczesny's got a longer-term contract. But he's definitely under pressure. Remember, Gigi Buffon also leaving, going to Kyle Krause's Parma in Serie B. So, they have to ride it out with him. They have Mattia Perini on the bench. But I think equally... we'll see how Allegri's is going to have a call to make about Szczesny because, you know, you can't make a mistake every single game. The joke in Italy was that, because Juventus have Cristiano, it's like starting every game at 1-0 up. Well, if Szczesny's going to, they don't have that extra goal now. And if Szczesny's going to keep playing and making these sorts of mistakes, then it's like being a goal down before kickoff. And that's not a good place to be.
I'm sure they'd happily take a 1-0 win right now. Now, a good few seasons back under Allegri, Juve did have a bad start to the season and they managed to turn it around. He's come out after this game and he says we have time to catch up, but this team isn't as strong as that former team, surely?
I think on paper they're not, but I think this team is younger and they have people who you know, can go to that next level. And it's up to him to go and lead them there. You know, to do it through youth. I mean, look, we've talked about it before. I don't think it's a mystery. Cristiano Ronaldo is definitely a net positive to have in your team, but it also means other people have to adjust the way they play. And certainly last season, they had high hopes for people like Kulusevski, for Chiesa, who I just mentioned, for Dybala as well. And having Cristiano there certainly affected them. And again, it's not a knock on Cristiano, but obviously if you've got somebody like that taking so much of the responsibility, you know, sometimes you tend to play within yourself a little bit. I think the challenge for Allegri is going to be, let's unleash these young talents. Let's let people like Matthijs de Ligt at the back continue to grow. Let's hope that Locatelli can punch his weight. Let's hope that Rabiot finds some consistency. You know, they do have talented players. This is still a very gifted squad. But the question is, can they grow together and how quickly can they do it? I think with Inter weakened, and obviously Inter's been firing all cylinders thus far, and of course, Milan up there too, that's going to be their competition for the title. Possibly Atalanta, although they started poorly, and of course they've been beaten again tonight, but by Fiorentina, as Dusan Vlahovic, the new wunderkind, not so new actually, but he's just young, he scored two penalties to beat them. So you expect them to be in the mix, and they do have time to recover, but they have to play better. And I think the old Allegri playbook of saying, let's be solid, and, you know, even if we don't play well, we still bring home the 3 points. Yeah, I don't think that's going to fly with this set of players.
Yeah, already so much to talk about after just 3 rounds in the Serie A. And you can hear more from Gab on the Gab and Jules podcast, although he's not there this week. Stuart Robson is there this week, but Gab will be back next week, no doubt. And make sure you download that wherever you do get your podcasts.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
In the Bundesliga, Bayern beat Leipzig 4-1, although Leipzig will be feeling a little hard done by in this game because there was a potential handball not called in the second minute, but then VAR got involved in a handball for Bayern and they did get a penalty. Anyway, after the game, our Archie Rinn caught up with both managers to talk about it.
Have to pick out Jamal Musiala. He has the same kind of body as Bambi, but man, is he dangerous. Yeah, how would really, you summon him up?
Really dangerous. Yeah. He defended very well today, and especially his goal was brilliant. He, good position, build-up game, then he dribbled into the middle, changed his side and on the weak side, and then he go and sprint into the box, and then to control this ball, this cross was not that easy with his first touch, and then also the finish is perfect with left foot. Also his assist for Leroy was also important, very good situation. He always also ran into the box and tried to cover a second post, and then he had good position for doing this cross. So at the end, very, very good performance.
What's he like as a person in the dressing room?
He's calm, but he tried to listen to everybody, to the manager, but also to his teammates. He always tried to improve, tried to learn, and I think that's special. I get to know some other players from the youth, not only by Munich, more in my foreign clubs. And you have the feeling they do not listen that well. But Jamal today decided the game and come into the dressing room. And he's like he's always in the dressing room. And he always listens to the other team players, want to improve. And that's brilliant.
Jesse, it's a heavy defeat in the end for your team. How would you analyse the game today?
I feel like we actually played really well. And we certainly invested a lot. We went after them. We were very aggressive. You know, I'm trying to push this team a little bit with the speed at which they play, with the power at which we play. We have a little bit of a new group. And I'll say that the work has been fantastic and the results haven't gone our way early. And we've had also not the easiest schedule, and it doesn't get any easier with Man City on Wednesday. But I'm very happy with the way that we're working and what we're achieving every day, but we just need some of the results to go a little bit our way. Tonight I feel that also the margins are so thin, offside one side, not on the other, penalty, not a penalty, very tough to make some of these calls, but everything seemed to go Bayern's way tonight.
What wasn't clicking on the pitch though?
Well, I think some of the things in the last third. You know, just some of our ability to kind of set up the next play and when we would win balls to lead us into bigger chances and then find ways to finish plays off. And then, like I said, you know, the penalty against Kampel is really close, and then we don't get one against Mueller. The offsides on one side is maybe just a bit offside and not on the other side. So, but like I said, I'm positive with our team because we're giving everything and we're going to keep getting better and we're going to keep learning.
What aspects of the play then in particular make you positive about what you've seen today? Because yeah. I'd imagine that there'll be people here who go, we've lost 4-1. What does that matter?
Yeah, listen, you have to look at things for what they are and not just what the results are. And so, you know, Bayern is a very good team, one of the best in the world. We played with them in a lot of moments. Our goal is to be able to beat them. You know, we're still a young group and a little bit of a new group. We have to understand what these games are about and keep learning and adapting. That's what we will do. So we have to defend a little bit better in moments. We have to be a little bit cleaner in the last third and create some bigger chances. But, you know, in terms of the things that the group is trying and what we're trying to achieve with the way we want to play, tonight was a positive for us.
Let's get to Bayern in just a moment. But it's not been the best start for Leipzig, has it, Jürgen?
Yeah, and I really feel for Jesse there, and he's totally right when he says, you know, there's one penalty call against them, you know, given, and the other penalty call against Thomas Müller was not given, and that could have obviously changed a bit the game. If you get an early penalty, you get up 1-0 against Bayern. Your confidence level is a completely different one than if you don't have it. But I think, you know, you got to look at the bigger picture a little bit. For Leipzig, it's pretty much a new start, you know. They have to rebuild again after Bayern Munich not only stole their best player last year with Upamecano, no, they took the manager too, and on top of it now with Sabitzer, another player. So they really damaged Leipzig over the last couple of months and damaged the confidence level. And if you don't have the confidence, if you're not really 100% convinced that you can hurt them, that you can beat them, then you're missing the little pieces then on the field. And that's what Bayern Munich uses then. And that's where Bayern Munich makes the difference. You know, they are so clinical in many ways that you give them one little chance and they use it right away, and you give them another chance and boom, suddenly it's 4-1. And you look really kind of bad. And I feel for Jesse, because a lot of the things that they've done were really positive, were good. But there's still a difference to Bayern Munich, and what Leipzig needs to do now is just kind of staying calm and build that confidence, you know, step by step, you know, find their new flow a little bit. As Jesse said, it's a new group of players a bit, work their way up in the table then.
Making a big difference at Bayern Munich, though, is young Jamal Musiala. I feel as though we're going to keep talking about him every week. The future looks to be in good hands there, doesn't it, Jürgen?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's so much fun to watch that kid. I mean, he does everything right, instinctively right. But he's kind of surrounded by so many good players. And he's, as Julian Nagelsmann said in his words, you know, he's a good listener. And there's a locker room where, you know, all the players are looking after young players. You know, they guide them. They tell them what to do. They tell them also sometimes, you know, certain things that are maybe a little bit critical. And you, as a young player, you take that critic and you grow and you improve. And it sounds like, as you know, Julian says it there, he's a very, very good listener to maybe a Thomas Müller, a Robert Lewandowski, or a Joshua Kimmich. And he will get us only better. But with the level he plays now already, is just unbelievable.
What a game it was in the Bundesliga between Bayer Leverkusen and Borussia Dortmund. Borussia Dortmund winning this one 4-3, and they had to come back not once, not twice, but three times, and then went on to score the winner, Erling Haaland, with two goals on the day. How can we assess Dortmund, Jürgen?
As entertaining. as very entertaining. Yeah, and I mean, the game was really exciting. I mean, Bayer Leverkusen played a fantastic game. They had it, basically, and then comes also this penalty decision, and I totally agree with Xhaka. It was a harsh decision. You can give it, but it was harsh. It was right there on the limit. So you feel for Leverkusen. No, it was it's a game up and down. What I liked on Borussia Dortmund was just like, they were grinding it out. They were going and going. They badly wanted those 3 points. And that makes me really optimistic looking forward, because we need Borussia Dortmund to challenge Bayern Munich, you know, to keep the Bundesliga in a real race. You know, and I think they're led by a very young Erling Haaland that has just so much hunger, so much drive, a little bit like Lukaku. We talked about Ronaldo. You know, he has this kind of hunger that he just, once he scores, he wants badly the next one. And maybe it comes all together this year with Dortmund, you know, if they stay away from injuries and a couple of players are coming back. But it was absolutely a fun match to watch.
Yesterday, Jürgen, on the show, we heard that Christian Vieri had some very high praise for Erling Haaland, and it's obviously very easy to do so. But how do you rate him and rank him at his age, what he's doing, given the fact that this is a position you know very well yourself?
Yeah, I mean, Christian Vieri, obviously one of the greatest strikers in his time. He's totally right, because when do you see a player like Erling Haaland at such a young age already kind of fulfilling all the boxes that you want to check, you know, for a complete number nine? That's scary. That is really scary because I don't know how many records he can theoretically or practically will break, which is super exciting for us. But he's just so mature already at that age. You know, he just is. It's almost like he's already a captain of the team, and he's just barely 20, 21 years old. You know, where you think, you know, I mean, normally they grow into that role at 24, 25, 26, and that's still actually young. Erlin is already there. So I think he deserves every compliment out there. I just hope that he stays, you know, with his feet on the ground, that he stays grounded, that he stays just focused, but it looks like it. He has that drive, and the sky is the limit.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
On ESPN Plus.
Match day four is already underway in La Liga and continues across Sunday and Monday. But let's draw our attention, shall we, to the two big Madrid sides who are both playing on Sunday. Espanyol taking on Atleti and Real Madrid against Celta. Real Madrid back at the Bernabeu and lots to talk about there. We welcome back in now Luis Garcia, and let's talk a little bit about that game between Espanyol and Atleti, shall we, Luis? Because Antoine Griezmann is back. Do you think we'll see him in the starting 11 for this one?
I think what I heard is there's going to be a partnership with Luis Suarez in the 11 to start for tomorrow's game against Espanyol. Definitely, we've been waiting for this situation. We had to wait until the last minute of the transfer market, but it was done. Griezmann was back to see their former teammates, now his teammates, back with the Simeone. You know the relationship that these two have in the previous year. They've done an amazing, amazing partnership. And now we have to wait if he's able to manage what he did before for Atletico Madrid. Run, fight, continue bringing that quality that he's got, and scoring goals. Of course, now with Correa in an amazing form, Joao Felix back in the squad for this game. This looks a proper contender for La Liga, Atletico Madrid with Griezmann on the bench.
What did you make of him returning, Luis? It's a very interesting move. Obviously, it was a big shock on the final day of the transfer window. But given everything that is going on at Barcelona, do you think this has been the right move to return for Antoine Griezmann?
Well, you know, there was not many happy people when he left Atletico Madrid the way it happened. And I'm sure that they are going to be waiting and going to put a lot of pressure on him in the first few games because he left for going to Barcelona. Probably a lot of them, they are not happy the way he performed at Barcelona. And now because of the economical situation at Barcelona, he have to make that move. We don't know what is going to happen next year because I heard that it was a loan, but you have to buy them. It was compulsory. And then I heard that it's not compulsory. We have to wait until the last of the season, at the end of the season, to see what happened. But definitely Griezmann is back to Atletico Madrid. Tomorrow looks like he's going to start. And I'm sure that he's delighted to be back with his fans at the Wanda Metropolitano.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing him back there. Meanwhile, in Madrid, because obviously when one of the big sides play, the other one plays away, Real Madrid are at home, back at the Bernabeu. Alexis Nunes will be there for it. They're taking on Celta de Vigo. There was a lot of talk about who'll be in the starting 11 between Vini and Hazard, but it seems as though maybe both can play now because we know that Gareth Bale won't be playing, Alexis.
Yeah, okay, that's the big news that's coming out of here, though. We've had a ton of Real Madrid fans just walking around. And honestly, I hate to say it, but nobody seems that really upset. Some people even said, look, Gareth Bale injured again. That's not really news now, is it? And it's just one of these bittersweet things, I suppose, because Real Madrid, of course, do have their fair share of attacking options. And with the likes of, you know, Vini Jr. just absolutely tearing it up, Benzema as well, like we talked about, Hazard too, who we still feel like he has a point to prove, at least in that Real Madrid shirt. But you know, it's definitely big news, though, to see Gareth Bale there, because even for all the flack that he has copped here during his time at Real Madrid, and whether people think that, you know, he wants to go back home to Wales or just play golf, as many have already started teasing him now with this injury, he has actually been quite good for Real Madrid so far this season. So I think it is a bit of a big miss, at least for me. But you know what? Nobody here sadly seems that bothered.
Yeah, that is a shame. Luis, you have to say, though, he must be happy to be back under Carlo Ancelotti. It's not good to see him injured this early on, for the player especially, is it?
Yeah, exactly, because we were expecting that with Carlo Ancelotti back at Real Madrid, he gave him a lot of confidence. He played the first three games. I know that he was also replaced in the second half because the performances, they were not the good that we were expecting. But he had the chance to score once. And then we were all expecting, if he's fit for the rest of the season, if he can have that amount of games where he can get back the fitness levels that we've seen, he's a fantastic player. He proved many, many years here in Real Madrid. So hopefully, with the confidence of the manager and not having these kind of setbacks with the injuries, we can see the best of Gareth Bale once again.
Yeah, and we wish him well in his recovery. Alexis, the fans might not be too worried about Gareth Bale not being available, but surely they're excited to be back at the Bernabeu, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely excited. I mean, as I was telling you guys later, all respect to the stadium of Alfredo Di Stefano, but it just never really felt like home for Real Madrid. You know, this is their home. This is the Santiago Bernabeu. You guys were just talking about Atletico Madrid and having Griezmann back and the fact that I finally got to see the Wanda Metropolitano just about 2 weeks ago on match day three. And it truly is a sight to behold. Gorgeous, stunning stadium. But I think Real Madrid definitely are a bit bothered by their now noisy neighbors after they've won the title. And kind of want to remind everyone that the true fortress of Madrid is this stadium right behind me, the Santiago Bernabeu, and everybody's absolutely buzzing. I know we're still about 24 hours away, or now less than 24 hours away, so I cannot wait to just get some of the atmosphere tomorrow. I mean, just not to name drop or anything, but we were just hanging out in the lobby of our hotel, and guess who's just chilling there as well? Eduardo Camavinga with his whole family, and he's kind of just right there in the lobby with everyone happily going up to him, asking him for, you know, photos, selfies, bringing their shirts of Real Madrid to him to sign, and he's happily signing them, just free, no bodyguards, nothing like that, you know. And it's just kind of bringing the buzz back to this side of Madrid that, of course, we know kind of left with all of the problems that they probably have had in the last season off the pitch, you know, with players as well. And I think there's definitely a buzz right back in this side of the city, and it'll be interesting to see exactly how this stadium is lit up tomorrow. Well, there you go. You see, everyone's excited.
They are. I have to say, I'm a little bit jealous that you're over there in my old home of Madrid. We can't wait to see what happens tomorrow, Alexis. Enjoy it. We do thank Alexis and Luis Garcia for being with us. To look ahead to this game between Real Madrid and Celta de Vigo, coverage begins tomorrow at 2:30 p.m. Eastern here on Plus.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That was a mile a minute.
That was
Thank
a long
you
day.
So much for joining us. And we do hope that you will stick around because we have extra time
more?
Next.
Yes,
we
more?
Do. We're going to have Gab, we're going to have Don, and we're going to have this man too, Shaka Hislop. Stick around for extra time. All right, here we go. No picking on Shaka today because he had enough of that yesterday, all right? We won't even
why
start.
Why don't that so much care?
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, Don's see, here see
well.
How quickly you change the tune? You've gone from no picking to we'll see.
All right, we'll see. All right, Don and Gab are with us as well to answer your questions. Thanks so much for sending them in for us. We'll start with you, Don. What percent chance for Lukaku to not win the Golden Boot this season?
Actually going to shake this off. This is just getting outrageous. I mean, every single week now. I mean, my Twitter feed on a Saturday night is just percentage. It's like, it's relentless. I said to Dan a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to go basic. I'm going to keep it simple. I'm going to go basic from now to the end of the season. Straight away, I got myself in a world of trouble. Everything was ticking, and I just, the more I think about it, the harder it is. So what was the question again? Repeat the question.
What percent chance for Lukaku to not win the Golden Boot this season?
Percentage chance. I'm going to go... Yeah, I'm going to go... 33 and a third.
Six and two thirds chances that he is going to win it then.
Something like that, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Gab, how bad is the situation at Juventus? Perhaps now they realise they needed Ronaldo more than anything.
Ooh. No, what they need to do is they need to rebuild and move forward, and they're trying to do that. You can debate whether Allegri's the right guy to do it, but there's no question that that you got to look to the future. You have to play attacking football. You have to believe in youth. You can't just go and say, oh, let's go and get Sami Khedira and Aaron Ramsey as free agent and freaking Artur, not a free agent, but de facto. Guys, you have to go and pay attention to what's happening in the rest of Europe. And they've done that. And they've got players who can do that. These are younger players. Ronaldo was just a band-aid for them at the end. You know, and it's nothing wrong. It's not his fault. But the reality is he had a year left on his contract. They weren't going to renew it. Certainly not at those numbers. So personally, I don't think Ronaldo being there or not is going to solve things in the long term. They've embarked on a long-term project, and whether it's Allegri to see it out or not, I don't know, but they're going in the right direction, I think.
What do you think, Don? I know you call Juventus' games too. Are you worried about them at all this season?
Massively, massively. I looked at that team that lost against Napoli, and especially in the midfield, and I'm thinking, that's not the best Juve midfield I've ever seen. Locatelli's a very, very good player, but he's not elite just yet. Rabiot, I think, always flatters to deceive. I'm yet to see the best of Weston McKennie. So I think I'm with Gab. I think Ronaldo done all he could do. He carried them at some points over the years.
I don't think Gab's
They're
with you,
one-man
Don.
Team.
You say you're with Gab. You say you're with Gab, but I don't think he's with you by his facials right now.
Well, maybe not, but I don't see how I don't see how all is well at Juve when Max Allegri's come through the door and is an elite manager, one of the very best, but he's working with a squad, in my opinion, that's behind Milan, behind Inter. He's got it all on to try and get anywhere near the title this season, and I just don't see it in Juve. I don't see Juve getting anywhere near the title this season. So if I'm a Juve fan, I would be worried.
Well, I think the only thing I took issue, I agree with Don, but the one thing I take issue with was, you know, you asked if, are you worried for them? I think we need to get off this high horse where we worry if they don't win the title. We've all become used to this. It's like putting a frog, you know, the story of like the frog in the pan of boiling water, and you heat it gradually, and you think it's normal, and then it doesn't jump out, and you die. I don't know if you guys quite got that analogy.
Never heard of that one.
But the point is, it's not normal. What Juventus did isn't normal. What Bayern did isn't normal. What Paris Saint-Germain did isn't normal. None of this stuff is normal. right? It's normal, on the other hand, that teams go in cycles, and when cycles end, they rebuild. That is normality. So, I mean, I still think Juventus are going to finish top four this season. I still think they have a decent shot to win the title. If it's a tragedy because, you know, they're not dead cert winners like they might have been a few years ago, well, there's a reason for that. You spent your money before. You took a big hit on COVID, 300 odd million over two seasons. Now you got to go and pay the piper, and you've accepted this, and you've decided to go with young players who maybe will come good in a couple years. But this whole culture that's been in football in recent years of papering over cracks and, oh, let's win another one, and it's 6, 7, 8, 9 in a row, and now we'll win the Champions League this year. That had to end. That's not sustainable. It's not sustainable for anybody.
There's got to be a strategy, though, Gab. There's got to be a strategy. We can't just sit here at Juventus, one of the biggest clubs in the world, and say, well, all right, their cycle's at end. Let's forget about Juve for a year or two. There's got to be a strategy where they move on.
Yeah. Well, and I think the strategy is there, and it has. Okay, the strategy was signing Chiesa, Kulusevski, Locatelli, McKennie, players like that who are young. Bentancur is also still young. Matthijs de Ligt, still young. And you develop those players, and these are players who arrived, most of them at considerable expense, and you develop those players, and you hope that they represent the next generation. That's the strategy. You rebuild with youth rather than doing what they did before, where they would add a veteran every year thinking like, oh, look, it's the missing piece of the puzzle. That might have worked then. It's not going to work now. So I think if you're a Juve fan, you accept this. And if you're saying this isn't the best Juventus midfield you've ever seen, I would heartily agree with you, given that not that long ago, it was Pogba, Vidal, Pirlo, and Marchisio. Yeah, those times are over now. But, I mean, teams evolve, and that's what you go for. You just hope that there's a plan for the future. I think there is a plan. Now the question is going to be in the execution.
Don, I think you're going to like this name of the next tweeter. It's Don's University of Mathematics and Percentages.
Wow.
The handle is at Don Percentages. But don't worry, it's not a question for you. Shaka,
what?
With your new book coming out, 1,000 Ways to Go on Vacation and Get Paid for It, what's your favourite place you've gone on a work trip?
What's my favourite? Hold on. First of all, I disagree with the premise that I go on vacations and get paid for it.
Hang on, when you go on vacation, do you get paid for it?
That's for another day.
Is your vacation
paid?
Whatever
happens if we're not picking on Shaka today? We started extra time with you, Ms. Murray. We're not picking on Shaka today.
This is not picking, I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
Is your vacation paid or not? Do you have vacation time paid?
No. Nope.
I don't believe you.
Why not? I don't get paid to go on vacation. That being said, just playing along with the question.
Right. Okay, of course.
I have been to Trinidad's Carnival with ESPN Caribbean. I have also been to Kroppen in Barbados as part of our efforts to expand the company name.
Of course.
That's, you know, that's what I do.
You're a company man after all.
Well, I do what's asked of me, okay? That's all. I do what's asked of me.
Yeah.
Those two were outstanding.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah, I can't say I'd be complaining at going to either of those places.
Yeah, so see?
I'll let you off. See, I'm not going to pick on you on this.
Well, that's up for debate yet again.
Tony with an I, Tony Adams. Don. What percentage chance does Barcelona have to beat Bayern Munich?
This is an easy one, Don.
Well, all right.
Barcelona beat Bayern.
50-50. Okay.
Oh, that's a cop-out.
Tony, I'm keeping it basic.
Keep
that's
it basic.
A cop-out. So this is over.
You can't go from 33 and a third to 50.
They're going to soon get bored
Listen,
of it.
I'm going basic until this story's over.
Never. He can't.
Is there any other way?
He can't resist.
I've got Twitter handles now that are naming their Twitter handle Don Percentages Mathematics, etc.
Don, are you calling yourself basic?
Yes, but it comes to mathematics.
Fair enough. All right, well, Gab, in this idea of Barcelona and Bayern Munich, Dan asks Gab, what could Barcelona possibly do to avoid another hammering from the hands of Bayern Munich next week?
Oh.
I don't think it's a guaranteed hammering. Obviously, I think you need to pay a lot of attention defensively. You know, who's out there, whether it's I don't think Eric Garcia will be available. I don't know that that's necessarily a bad thing, but obviously that they've been under scrutiny. So whether it's Longley back there or Gerard Pique or Araujo, you know, you need to keep an eye out on Lewandowski. I'm tempted to just say give the ball to Memphis Depay and wait for something to happen. I don't think that that's a game plan. That may end up being the game plan, but on a more serious note, I think it's going to be the midfield, because you know, when you have Frankie de Jong in there, you can use him in so many different ways, and this might be a game where you might want to set up a little bit more conservative and try to exploit the space behind, knowing that you have guys who can keep possession and maybe can handle the press a little bit better than most teams. But for me, on paper, Bayern would have to be favorites, especially if Musiala plays, given what he did today.
Now, you all are regulars on this show, so you'll all know about Cristiano Ronaldo's first goal for Manchester United and who he scored it past. He doesn't remember who it was, sadly. But just to add some context here, that's all I'll say, Shaka. All right.
Thanks, Q.
Nicholas says, for Don, what is the percentage chance? What is the percentage chance that Ronaldo will remember the Newcastle goalkeeper today after scoring against him on his second debut?
Well, he didn't remember Shaka, did he?
He didn't.
He didn't remember Shaka when he scored a hat-trick against him.
What?
Poor Freddie Woodman. He's not going to remember, is he? Ronaldo's not going to remember.
No, so...
He's not, is he?
So, 0%.
Yeah. I'm afraid so. All right.
Next up, I'll ask all of you this. I'll start with you, Gab. Anyone see Cristiano Ronaldo winning the Premier League Golden Boot this season? Gab?
Well, evidently not Don, since he said that there's effectively a 66.6 repeating chance that Lukaku wins it, which I think is massive disrespect towards Cristiano, Mohamed Salah, and all the other people who might possibly be in the running for it. So yeah, obviously he's in the running for the Golden Boot.
Don, are you going to stick with those percentage chances?
No, I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to go with every chance he's...
How are you going to change a percentage chance in the same extra time? We haven't even gone to think it over.
You only remembered now.
That's what we do, Gab. That's what we do.
You only remembered now that Cristiano Ronaldo is in the Premier League. You only remembered now that when you consider Lukaku, he might have some competition from that Ronaldo fella we've been talking about incessantly.
How can I not remember Cristiano Ronaldo's in the Premier League? I commentated on the game today against Newcastle.
You're as forgetful as Cristiano Ronaldo when he scored that goal against Shaka.
Yeah.
That's what you sound like. Shaka, you can end this one. Do you see him winning the Golden Boot this season?
No, I don't. I think...
You sound bitter.
No, because he's not playing against me every week. That's what you want me to say? That's what you want me to say. I don't see him winning the Golden Boot because I think between Lukaku, Salah, and you have to count Harry Kane in, even though Spurs are nowhere near to even what we saw from them last season. I just think between them, they get ahead of Ronaldo.
Who gets more goals, Shaq? Ronaldo or Bruno Fernandes?
Ronaldo.
What do you think otherwise, Don?
I'm not sure. What's he got, Bruno Fernandes? 4 already?
Oh, come on.
Gab knows what he thinks.
Ronaldo's got 2.
Gab knows what
Ronaldo's
he thinks.
Ronaldo's halfway there.
Mate, Gab.
This guy just shoots from everywhere. I'm not saying either or, but I'm just saying I wouldn't.
What do you mean you're not seeing either or? You asked me, do I see Ronaldo or Bruno Fernandes? What do you mean you're not seeing either or?
I asked you the question.
So what are you asking me? I
just wanted to gauge your opinion.
Don.
Yeah.
Don, I will pay for a steak dinner at a place of your choosing, and I'll even eat a well-done steak, Adam Moreno style, if Bruno Fernandes outscores Cristiano Ronaldo this season.
Come on, Bruno!
I can think of 100 million reasons why it's not going to happen.
Come on, Bruno!
And also, can we just add to this? Can we also get a pineapple pizza in there as well?
No,
I have limits. I have limits.
What about ketchup?
You can
about ketchup
your
on your well-done steak. Ketchup on your well-done steak.
At least.
No.
Everybody has a limit.
All right, it's a deal, and we will remember it here on Extra Time. Thank you so much for being with us.
I want to see Gabby the well-done steak.
I know, I can't wait.
It's going to be so
good. I'm hoping it'll happen. All right, anyway, thanks so much for joining us on the latest edition. Join us every day on ESPN FC, 7 days a week.